It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs. And of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I tell you what, it feels like fall outside. I was at the Vikings practice this morning, and I had to go get a long sleeve out of the back, and they told me they were selling long sleeve apparel at training camp for the fans. So nobody anticipates this in August, but it was cool and breezy, and some people even called into question global warming from time to time. What could I say? I couldn't say anything. I'm sitting there in a sweatshirt, you know, and so it's hard for me to defend or align myself with anything. Okay, we have a two-pronged first half hour. Number one is, are you mad at Kirk Cousins because he tested positive for COVID? Or are you past that? Are we past the stage where you get mad at anybody? 651-461-9226. Number two is, and this is purely me, a novice, because I mainly have been working on sports all day, today and yesterday. But I get confused easily, as you know. And I'm wondering what it is if President Trump, if they say he took these documents with, wouldn't those things all just be on a hard drive somewhere, too, back in Washington, D.C.? I mean, is the fear that somebody's going to break into his house and steal them? Or, I mean, wouldn't he electronically be able to move any of that stuff outside of the hard copy? Wouldn't he be able to take anything he wanted electronically if he had access to these things and just move them electronically and have them stored somewhere? As opposed on hard copy paper, I feel like I'm missing something. You know, I feel like I'm missing something that is the main piece of this whole thing. But it just seems too casual to me that you'd be allowed to have documents that threaten the world, like in your basement in the corner. Hey, I'll go look in there. There might be something about nuclear. I don't know. I don't get this. What am I missing here? Is it that somebody would break into, or I mean, wouldn't you fear more that if he wanted those copies of those documents, he'd have them stored electronically somewhere? I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying this off the top of my head. I'm watching this. I'm going, this just seemed, I didn't even know any of this stuff existed. Jordana Green, if you look it up on the, I'm trying to think what time it was. She had a great guest on talking about it, and I forget his name, but he was explaining that. Presidents can all declassify whatever they want to declassify while they're in office. And it's up to them to decide that. And I didn't know any of this stuff, and that they have access to, and then they negotiate with the archives people as to what they can take with them. I didn't know anything about this, but it was a great interview that Jordana had with this gentleman who's from CBS. But he's one of those legal analysts, and he was explaining things that I never knew of before. But I see this stuff happen, and I go, well, are we only, you feel like, what did he pull up in a pickup truck to the White House, and then he threw a bunch of documents in the back and then he drove down to Florida? I don't know, but it just seems too easy. It seems like there's something strange about this, that you can just transport documents that could threaten the world, and you just put them in a file cabinet. I don't even know, in a box or something. Here, take this out to the truck. Bring this to the truck. We'll bring this too. What the heck? I don't know. But it seems like there'd be something far more complicated than that out there somewhere. That if he wanted these documents, he could email them, he could store them, he could put them somewhere on somebody's computer. I don't know. But it just strikes me as strange that it's that easy to bring documents that are supposedly that sensitive that it would dictate the entire FBI, going down there and breaking into his home. I don't understand that. If anybody can clarify that for me, please do. 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. Is the fear that he's going to have a party one night and he's going to say, hey, I got something here you've never seen before. You know, come on down to my den. Let me show you some things that, this is what if this happens, and this is what we're going to do to Russia. I don't know. But that seems awfully easy. To be able to do that, it almost seems like they need some new laws in place or something, that whatever it is, you classify, declassify, whatever it is, you never leave the office with anything. I don't know why anybody would want to leave the office with a bunch of documents that would be classified or declassified. Why would you even want those? If you're President Trump or anybody else, I mean, do you want? Is that casual reading for you at night? Yeah, I'm going to go over some of those documents and see if I declassified the right ones. And I'm going to spend some time in my leisurely reading out here, checking to see what I said about our relationship with Sweden or whatever. And we have a good relationship with Sweden, I think. But who knows? Maybe there's a paragraph in there that calls it into question. I don't know. But the whole thing confuses me. And I'm trying to figure out why on earth we'd ever be at risk that a president would be allowed to take any documents that were a danger or threat to anyone when they leave the White House. And if so, why would a president even want to take documents with them? I mean, what would be the purpose? I don't know what that would be. Unless at some point in time you were trying to make a point, like if he's running for election again, and you want to be crystal clear on what you did for the record, and you want to have a copy of it in front of you, maybe that would be it. I don't know. But other than that, why would you want to bring a bunch of documents down and put them in your house? You know, and he's got plenty of room, it looks like there. But I don't get why we'd be at great risk, and I don't get why he's allowed to, and I don't even understand the whole concept, what it's all about. 651-461-9226. 651-461-9226. If you can shed some light on that, I'd be happy to take your text or your call. Here's a text that we have. Maybe he has secret documents about extraterrestrial aliens. That's true. I never thought about that. That there could be some things in there that he's seen that nobody else has seen, that he doesn't want anybody else to see. One of those, you know, the head of the, I don't know, Naval Space Center or whatever comes to us. He says, I've got this super powerful telescope here, and I want you to look through this tonight with me at 1 o'clock this morning. And you're going to see some things you've never seen before. And if you follow me and you allow me, there's a place out in Texas. It's kind of a deserty area. And on the 5th of October at 2 in the morning, we're going to go meet some, well, I don't want to call them people, but they're aliens. You'll get a chance to know them, and they're much better aliens than you would think. I don't know. Maybe that's it. For the record, you're missing two things. First, believing global warming doesn't exist because of a nice morning in Minnesota disproves your thought. Second, the documents the president took isn't stored on anywhere other than a hard copy. Is that right? I didn't know that. If that's true, maybe that's true. I assume that everything was backed up on a hard drive, and I don't know that. You could be shedding some light on this. I didn't know that there were things that were just the old days, right, where you just had the hard copy of it. I thought there were always things. I just assumed that you would have that you would have all that stuff somewhere else. If it's this important, you would think that all that stuff would be documented. I don't know. Let's go to Pam in St. Cloud. Pam, can you shed some light, or do you want to talk to Kirk Cousins? What do you want to talk?
Okay. You were asking why he took them. First of all, he shouldn't have taken them. They were the top secret, the highest level. They tried, the FBI tried to get them back since January, at least. There's been negotiations, and he has returned 10, 15 boxes, but he kept all the others. And no, it should not have happened. It shouldn't have been done. How we got them out of there, and they said something about they were shipped on the news. All the other questions, no, this is, it was wrong on every level, and it shouldn't have been done by anybody.
But Pam, I see what you're saying. Thank you for the call. I didn't know they were allowed to do that. I mean, I would assume that our top classified documents don't go anywhere, or, you know, that somebody watches guard on. I don't know. But that surprised me as much as anything, that presidents can declassify and leave with what they want. I guess they have to negotiate it or something like that with the archives. But I didn't know that they could do that either. So maybe this is a great learning experience for all of us. And maybe we need to look at restructuring the laws of the land, so to speak, it just doesn't make sense to me that a president can walk out with highly classified documents and nobody says, hey, what are you doing with those? And that if this one texter says that that's all you have is the hard copy, I didn't know that either. So this just may be my nativity on a situation that merits people with great great deal more academic skill set than I have. But that's why it struck me, and I wanted to see if you people would fill in the blanks for me. There was no breaking into Trump's residence. It was a search warrant. You're right. Yep. Technically, it was a search warrant. That way, nobody broke in. And that's true as well. So thank you for enlightening me. I didn't know for sure if anybody else has anything to add to that. But I didn't know that. I didn't know that people could walk off with it doesn't seem to me that that's right, that a president can walk off with classified documents just because he wants to. I don't know. But they say all of them do. They all get to take with them what they want. So I didn't know any of that. But, you know, I'm just a small town kid. Let's take a break, come back, continue our conversation, and your text 651-461-9226. Sports to the Max, taking you up to the Twins and Angels at WCCL. I got a couple more texts here that make a little sense of this. It says, I don't think doctors or nurses would take private medical records with them home. I agree. That's why I'm just perplexed by this, that presidents get to take documents, and I didn't know they were the ones that got to decide what gets declassified. I guess somebody's got to decide what's declassified. And I wouldn't think they'd even have time to look through those things. But I can't imagine that he's sitting out there by the pool and going, yeah, let me see. We went over there to Hawaii and we had that trip and I had some thoughts on that. I'm going to read that. I don't know. But maybe I'm missing this. But it seems to me that in this country we wouldn't do that. But 651-461-9226, 651-461-9226. Now, I was at the Vikings today, and they made it official. Kirk Cousins has COVID yet again. Kevin O'Connell, in one of his first acts as a head coach, I mean, the first thing that's really come his way that even borders on law, controversial or tough, gave the opening statement this morning.
Yeah, guys, I told you I'd keep you updated kind of as we went. Just want to obviously update you on Kirk. We were able to confirm yesterday through a couple of PCRs and some real testing there that Kirk did indeed test positive for COVID. He's feeling pretty darn good and very limited symptoms. He's wearing me out about the install this morning and the plan for Sunday. Unfortunately, he will not make the trip. We're going to let him rest up and get ready to go. He should, by the protocol standards, be back Tuesday morning, ready to roll for our Niners practices. But as always, we'll keep you guys posted. I like the way he handled it, you know, reporting the symptoms and just going through our in-house process that we have here. Proud of the way the guys did that and ultimately looking out for his teammates and making sure that we'll get him back ready to roll as soon as possible.
There you go. Kevin O'Connell, welcome to the NFL. Somewhere Mike Zimmer may be just snickering just a little bit on his ranch in Kentucky, going, oh, yeah, I remember when I last left the Vikings, they were dealing with Kirk Cousins and COVID. At least now that's not my problem, and I still get paid to be the head coach, even though I'm not the head coach. Maybe it's not as bad a gig as he thinks. Although Zim should be coaching somewhere, doing something, defensive coordinator or something, consulting somebody. He's got way too much football IQ to be just sitting on the sidelines. So I hope he finds something that scratches his itch, so to speak. Eric Kendricks was out there today as well. Valuable piece of the Minnesota Vikings, middle linebacker, calls the signals, serves as one of the captains on the team. So I was able to sequester him for just a minute, and we were able to talk about the weather, the camp, and yes, COVID.
I thought training camp was supposed to be hot. Do you love conditions like this?
I love it. You know, it's been hot. You know, it's been hot a couple of days, but it's a nice little breeze. You know, look at this.
What does it mean to play Vegas on Sunday? What does the game mean to you guys? Is that just a focal point? Is it a what?
No, it's a showcase. You know, anytime you're able to play under the lights, regardless of what year it is for you, I think it's a excellent way to showcase your skills and show what you learned during camp.
What has camp been like so far? A lot different, a little different? How would you characterize
it? You know, I'll say it's a lot different, but, you know, it's still all hard work. You know, we're still trying to get a job done. Everyone's trying to, you know, win this thing. So it's definitely a lot different, but at the same time, you know, same game of football.
So the whole COVID thing, you guys get used to that after a while. Just, you know, it's going to be ongoing forever, it seems.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, just when you start getting used to it, you know, something else comes up. But, you know, we're so used to adjusting on the fly, you know, I mean, as well as the people back home. Yeah, everyone's just used to just making adjustments at this point. So that's all we can do is just adjust.
Yeah, I suppose after all the COVID that you're seeing, you've learned to be very adaptable.
Yeah. You got to be able to work on the fly, you know, do things virtually at times and just get the work done.
Eric Kendricks on COVID, the Raiders, and much more. You kind of get to that point where you think that. But it is kind of strange, though, that they had 90 guys in camp And the only one that has COVID happens to be arguably the most important player on the team. You know, what are the odds that they're not 90 to 1 because he probably isn't vaccinated, at least unless he got vaccinated in the offseason. So they'd be higher than that. And most players, I assume, are vaccinated with boosters and all that stuff. But what are the odds that Cousins would get it again? And the other question that you have is, and I don't have the answers, folks. I ask the questions without the answers. I let you guys fill them in for me. This is second time in a year. What have we figured out about antibodies and what they do for us or don't do for us? I don't know what the answer is again. Because, you know, the theory was early on, hey, if you get COVID, you don't worry about getting COVID again. And then, you know, Joe Biden gets it and he's quarantined, he's over it, and he gets it again. I have no idea what the shelf life of it is or the resurgence of it is. I have no idea. And can you go in and get tested easily to see if you have antibodies? And if you do, does that make you immune? I don't know. But it certainly seems more perplexing the further we go. See, all these things don't have easy answers, do they? Well, why can the president take classified hard copies out of the White House when he leaves? I don't know. How can you get COVID again if you already had it once? I don't know. We'll go lighter side the next hour. Make it easy on all of us, okay? High school football starts next week. We'll visit with the defending state champion's head coach. The game fair is on in it's coming soon. It's in Anoka. We had Ron Scherer on the other day talking about it. But Chuck Delaney's got it's a sentimental year for him. I think it's 41 years now he's been doing that. 120 acres out there. They'll have like 50 or 60,000 people. Over the course of the next couple of weekends. And it's kind of a celebration and an appetite. Like today would have been the perfect day for a game fair because it's just cold enough, you know, where you start thinking fall. Just cool enough so that you want to throw the decoys out and see how they look in the water. Just enough of a nip that you want to see your dog go fetch and you don't have to worry about him getting too tired when you work with your dog. All those things. You could kind of feel today for the first time and that little bite in the air. Now, I'm not ready for that bite in the air, but it does remind you of what is yet to come and that one of the great seasons that we have, fall in Minnesota, I think the greatest of the four seasons, is right around the corner and the state fair is not far away either. So Twins playing tonight against the Angels. The Angels have been a struggling team. It's the kind of team you got to win some games against. These next 10 are, I think, key because they play the Angels, the Rangers, and the Royals, and neither one of them have been very good this year. So if you want to get back into this thing, you want to do some damage against and make sure Cleveland's not a factor. They lead by a game and a half right now. It better start this week. You know, the season gets extended a little bit into October, but it's not going to be easy. And the Twins have just, they give you some hope and they take it away. And they give you some hope and they take it away. But they really should be able to win this division based on talent and execution and the fact that they play a little bit. They don't run the bases very well, but their defense is good enough. Their offense is good enough. Their pitching should be good enough. There's just something missing there. When we come back, we're talking game fair, high school football, and your texts and calls anytime. Sports to the max on a Friday in WCCO.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.